I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Tattoos and touchdowns. They love the game. I'm perturbed. Lyle Alzado, Matusak, and Ham, and Lambert.
Minister of Defense, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, John Elway, You know, Jim Kelly.
It's football. Just give me my chance to, like, put a big leather helmet on like Al Bundy's.
You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on warlikeradio.com.
And here we go.
Tattoos and Touchdowns, week 4, morelikeradio.com. It's not FM, it's not XM, it's More Like Radio. Chris Espo with me as always, Will Sweeney.
Good morning.
And super producer Joe C.
That's me.
I tell you, last week was a gift and a curse for me, because in the pros versus Joes, completely shit the bed. Went 1-4.
You certainly did.
Lost $5 to Will in the Seattle-Jacksonville game. And yet all six of my fantasy teams went 6-0. I went 6-0 in fantasy.
Nice.
And I moved on in the...
You're getting another loss this week. You know that, right?
$86,000 suicide pool.
Nice.
So that's... Listen, if I lose in the TNT Bowl, I got nothing on the line except for, hey, my co-host beat me. I got bigger fish to fry in that other thing. So a lot to get to this week. Two teams are on bye this week. That's Green Bay and Carolina. And
make sure you adjust your fantasy rosters appropriately. Jeff, you have half the Packers offense on your team.
Yes, please. If Jeff is listening yet, don't forget we're in the chat room, morelikeradio.com. Go ahead, click the live button, go to the chat, talk to us. When we do our fantasy segment, we'll open up the phone line for people that want to give a little, what do I do this week since there are bye weeks.
Sure.
So, crazy week last week. We're going to recap the games first off. And, Will, who do you have first for us?
All right, we're going to kick off. We already covered last Thursday night's game, so we're going to kick off with the Cincinnati Bengals at the Green Bay Packers. Now, I picked this game on ham radio last week.
Uh-huh.
I told them I thought Green Bay was going to struggle a little bit, and I picked the Bengals to win.
Yeah, buddy.
And I got lucky, actually, because it was pretty close. The Bengals win 34-30.
It was, honestly, in my opinion, it was game of the week.
Yeah.
It was game of the week.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers throwing all over the place. 26 of 43 for 244 yards, a touchdown and two interceptions. Andy Dalton, 20 of 28 for 235 yards, two TDs and an interception. Huge difference in the passing numbers right there.
Yeah, Andy Dalton, though, has started to separate himself. Because there's that Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks right now with Peyton, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Brady.
Sure.
And then there's the others. And now that middle tier with the Eli Mannings and the Andrew Lucks, now that he's up and coming, Andy Dalton's kind of like pushing his way in there. Like, hey, you know, you got to include me.
Would you put him as a tier two quarterback?
This year, yes.
Okay.
I need to see more, obviously. It's only been 3 weeks. It's a small little sample size. But
right.
He's looked a lot better than I thought he ever did the last 2 years.
Absolutely. No question asked. Heading over to the rushing stats, we'll start off with the Packers. Jonathan Franklin, 13 attempts of 103 yards. James Starks, 14 of 55. Franklin had a touchdown in this game. And for the Bengals, Giovanni Bernard, very pedestrian, 10 rushes for 50 yards and a touchdown. The law firm, Jarvis Green Ellis, 10 rushes for 29 yards and a touchdown. Not very impressive rushing numbers for the Bengals.
No, but that Giovanni Bernard is very deceiving, because he's going to slowly start to take over that number one role. In the games that he's played this year, last week, he had 99 yards of total offense. He had the 50 yards on 10 carries. Sounds pedestrian. That's 5 yards a carry.
Right.
You prorate that over the game. If he plays a full game and gets to 20 carries, he's 100-yard back.
Right.
The big thing for him is he's a scat back. He's a Marshall Faulk type. I'm not saying he is Marshall.
German?
Yes. He's into all that freaky stuff. He's not as effective yet as Marshall Faulk.
Right.
However, 99 yards, that's a viable option out of the backfield. And in a deep PPR sleeper league, Giovanni Bernard is worth the flex play.
Yeah. I mean,
he is gonna progress.
Yeah, 4 grabs for 49 yards for Giovanni Bernard. Mohamed Sanu was the leading receiver on the Bengals, 4 grabs for 68 yards. A.J. Green, 4 of 46 for a touchdown. Marvin Jones, 3 for 38 for a touchdown. Heading over to the receiving stats for the Bengals. Jordy Nelson had a big game, 8 grabs, 93 yards.
And when does he not have a big game?
I love that guy, dude. He's another Wes Welker-type receiver.
Reminds me a lot of Ed McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Possession guy. He won't wow you on the stat sheet all the time, but when he does, it's like, whoa, okay, we got to look at him.
He's quite possibly one of the most reliable receivers, I'll say, in the NFC.
Yeah, good hands.
Very good hands.
Good hands.
Not one of the most reliable receivers in the NFL, but he's up there. Randall Cobb, 5 grabs, 54 yards. James Jones, 4 grabs for 34 yards and a touchdown. I mean, you really look at the stats, and nothing really impressive for the Bengals, but they wound up on top. So,
good defense.
Yeah.
There was one big play at the end of the game. Packers were starting to move, and there was a fumble. Ball gets kicked around a little bit. Bengals return it for a touchdown. That was the turning point of the game. That was it.
Right.
That was it. Aaron Rodgers couldn't do anything. And Aaron Rodgers, James Starks, who was a big fantasy pickup last week, is a fantasy drop this week because he's hurt.
Right.
Jonathan Franklin is your big pickup this week. And the one thing I hate about Aaron Rodgers...
Discount double check commercials?
No, I actually love those. When B.J. Raji's dancing.
I love that one. It's my favorite.
His face is like, yeah, buddy. But I hate with Aaron Rodgers the way he gets to a point where he looks so dejected. And Eli does the same thing.
Yes.
He kind of like throws his hands to the side. And
he sulks.
Yes. And you're a quarterback. You don't do that. I'd rather see the quarterback, like a Tom Brady, grab a face mask and pull the guy in and say, you're acting like an ass.
You know what? I've debated that with people, and I've said I've wanted to see that out of Eli, and I'm never going to because it's not his style, bottom line.
It's not a Manning style.
No. But, you know, as I've sat there and said, you know, I want to see this, people have told me I don't want to see that. To me, when you do something like that, you grab a guy by the jersey and say, hey, stop your crap. Get going. This is ridiculous now. Step it up. Grab the guy by the face mask. Do the same thing. It's not, you're not intimidating the person, but you're calling them out.
Absolutely.
You know, and some people think it's like, oh, you're trying to intimidate. No, it's not. You're calling them out. You're telling them, hey, you're not where you need to be. You're not doing what you need to do. Stop the crap. Get it moving.
Right.
So we'll move on. Detroit Lions beat out the Redskins 27-20.
The Washington Redskins just look atrocious right now. I'm of the idea of do yourselves the favor now, set something up and show a little bit of balls, basically, and bench RG3. Bring in Kirk Cousins.
I don't think it's RG3's fault, though.
He doesn't look good. And it's honestly, it's Washington's fault for not putting him in the preseason.
Right.
But he needs a week. He needs a week to just... desensitize and deactivate.
I don't think he needs the week to relax. He had 4 weeks to relax. He needed to play a couple of those weeks to knock the rust off. You look at his stats, 32 completions, 50 attempts, 326 yards, no touchdowns. That's not bad.
I don't want RG3 throwing the ball 50 times a game.
No. I agree.
In a game that's only a touchdown difference, he shouldn't be throwing the ball 50 times a game. You have Alfred Morris, who's a 1,000-yard back. What are you doing?
Right, but he rushed 15 times for 73 yards. RG3 rushed for six attempts for 37 yards. I can't put the onus solely on RG3. Yes, he is struggling, but apparently he's not on the same page as his receivers. I mean, he's got some good ones.
That's what I was just going to say. I don't like any of his receivers. I don't like Pierre Garçon. Santana Moss is a veteran.
No, but they're both good receivers.
Hankerson stepped up this year.
Right.
More and more.
Although last week he was 3 for 21. Three grabs for 21 yards.
Right. I understand.
But Pierre Garçon, 8 grabs, 73 yards. Santana Moss, 7 grabs, 77 yards. Head on over to the Lions. Matthew Stafford. 25 of 42 for 385 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. He took a sack also. RG3 took a couple. We'll talk about sacks a little bit later on. The rushing stats for Detroit. Bell runs for 63 yards and a touch. Stafford ran for 2 yards. Big deal. Receiving, Calvin Johnson. Hey, yeah. 115 grabs, one touchdown. Nate Burleson, 116 yards, no touchdowns. Nate Burleson is out for a few weeks now because he got involved in a single car collision. Was it Monday morning, Tuesday morning?
Yeah, I don't remember. Monday. I think it was Monday morning.
Broke his arm, had surgery on it. Says they should be. They're hoping he'll be back in 6 to 8 weeks, which brings us basically in just past the midseason point and making that playoff push.
Right.
So if you have Nate Burleson, consider dropping him for now, or if you're deep enough, hold on to him. Make sure he doesn't play. Just monitor his status. Bell, 4 grabs for 69 yards. Joseph Furia, 1 grab, 5 yards, but he got a touchdown.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that he was like Jacob Tammy last year for fantasy. Jacob Tammy would be the guy that I'm just going to plug him in, hope I get lucky, and sure enough, Peyton would throw to him twice for 10 yards, and one of them would be a touchdown.
Right. All right, we're going to move over to New England, Tampa Bay.
That's the Patriots I know.
23-3.
That's the holding the little brother by the head so he can't hit you type of thing.
Now, was this a one-week fluke thing for them?
No, I think this starts to roll them.
They're starting to roll them now?
Yeah, yeah. Starting to roll them, and we say that like they were 0-2. They're a 3-0 team.
They were 3-0, but it was a weak 3-0.
Right. The first 2 weeks were a little fifth.
You know. Tom Brady, 25 of 36, 225 yards, 2 TDs, sacked 3 times. Josh Freeman, no longer the starter in Tampa Bay. If, for whatever reason, you had Josh Freeman on your team, number one, what in God's name were you thinking?
Number one, shame on you.
Right. What in God's name were you thinking? Number two, no longer the starter. 19 completions, 41 attempts, 236 yards, no touchdowns and an interception. That's a miserable day.
He's a miserable quarterback, though. Like, I'm snake bit because in a couple of my fantasy leagues, I took Vincent Jackson. Now, Vincent Jackson is claiming he's injured. They don't know how much of an injury it is. I think it's more along the lines, like I've said, with Santonio Holmes. I don't want to play with this quarterback anymore. If they see Mike Glennon step up this week, then all of a sudden I think Vincent Jackson is going to feel a little bit better.
Kind of like what
Santonio
Holmes did.
100%.
With Sanchez. Going over to the rushing stats, muscle hamster, Doug Martin, 20 rushes for 88 yards.
I actually sat him last week in a couple of fantasy leagues.
You know what, though?
He wasn't showing me anything.
And he's still not. 88 yards is really nothing. You didn't find the end zone. I mean, 88 yards gets you what, 4 points?
No, it gets me 8 points. And
oh, it's one point per 10 yards rushing?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then the Patriots, LeGarrette Blount, 65 yards. Brandon Bolden, 51 yards. Stephen Ridley, 35 yards.
Brandon Bolden, how many carries did he have for that 51?
3.
He's soon to be their number one. I'm putting it down now. By next year, Ridley is gone.
Okay.
And Brandon Bolden. The Patriots do amazing things with no-name talent, and we've seen them go undefeated in years. And
as we could see with Kembrell Tompkins.
Kembrell Tompkins, it was a very afterthought wide receiver pick. And now he's slowly becoming their number one.
Right.
And rightfully so. He's playing great.
Yeah. Three grabs, 2 touchdowns, 41 yards for Kembrell Tompkins.
I think from now until the end of his career, Brady will always be looking for that Welker 2.0, and I don't think it's Julian Edelman. It was supposed to be Amendola, but we've already seen that Amendola is brittle.
Right.
Amendola is a cotton of eggs.
But he's been brittle his career.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, we said it as soon as they said the Patriots signed him. He's very injury prone.
On paper, it's a great idea, but I think for the same amount of money, you could have restructured a deal and gotten Welker back.
Yeah, you could have. And I'm sure Brady might have restructured a little something to have Welker back. You know, he's not the type of guy that would do it for just anybody, but I think he would have done it for Welker.
Welker's his right-hand, well, was his right-hand man.
Exactly. Receiving stats for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, nothing exciting. Mike Williams, 5 grabs, 65 yards. Eric Page, 3 for 55. Vincent Jackson, 3 for 34. Nobody else really stands out. For the Patriots, Aaron Dobson, 7 grabs, 52 yards. Julian Edelman, as we just mentioned, 7 grabs for 44 yards. Brandon Bolden, 5 grabs for 49 yards. To go on top of his 3 rushes for 51 yards, so he had a 100-yard day. And that's pretty much it. You know, Stevon Ridley, one grab for eight yards. So we're going to move on now to, Jesus, Giants and Panthers. Chris?
I'm sorry.
God's name happened to that offensive line?
Everything. The team doesn't exist right now. They have no defense. They have no offense. The offensive line can't keep Eli upright. The running game is terrible. David Wilson has been the biggest fantasy and yearly bust so far, to the point where he's on my bench. I'm starting guys like Jason Snelling over him.
Right.
That's how bad it's gotten. The wide receiver core doesn't have enough time to get open because the offensive line doesn't keep Eli upright, like I just said. There's so many things wrong that nothing is going to go right. And the schedule, that was the must win. Because once that game was done, the schedule is going to get a lot tougher. You got Philly back. You got Philly 2 out of the next 5 weeks, I think.
Yep.
With that defense and that Chip Kelly offense, you're in trouble.
I agree.
I don't see them going more right now than 2-7 to open up.
I got to be honest with you. Giants right now, the way I'm looking at it, no more than 4 wins this season, if they're lucky.
They're a top. What happened that now all of a sudden they're a top 10 draft pick? Now, the only thing I can think of, if I was a Giant fan, I start hearing the name Jadeveon Clowney. Now, hear me out on this. Jadeveon's draft stock has dropped significantly. He's not a top 5 anymore.
Right.
He's going into the 6 to 10 range. Justin Tuck, let's face facts. He's probably got 3 or 4 more years left in him, if that.
Maybe.
If that. And he's been amazing. Nothing.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Probably one of the most reliable things on the defense.
If JPP can get back to being healthy, because JPP has looked like a shell of himself with his bad back.
Yeah.
Jadeveon Clowney and JPP on the edge. Beefy. Fantastic.
Sure.
But, again, I think the Giants have too many other pressing issues that they need to address.
Right now, the offensive line is one. The secondary is another. The secondary is destroyed by injury, as it always is.
Justin Pugh on the offensive line from Syracuse just looks lost right now. He doesn't look like he's ready yet.
Right.
And he shouldn't be starting. I don't like anything that team has to offer right now. But for some strange reason, I think they win this week. Something tells me that Giants have always done historically well against Andy Reid-led teams, and especially Andy Reid teams that don't have a DeSean Jackson on them.
Listen, from your mouth to God's ears, I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening this week, but we'll get into that when we do our pick'em for the week. Stats. Eli Manning, 12 of 23 for 119 yards, 7 sacks, 6 of them in the first half.
How many interceptions did he throw?
One.
Okay.
One.
Well, he got that down.
Yeah, he's still not on the same page as his receivers.
No.
Cam Newton, 15 of 27, 223 yards, 3 TDs. Rushing yards, fantastic. David Wilson, 11 attempts, 39 yards.
Well, and the other problem is, and that's actually signs of life from David Wilson. The problem that the Giants have had with their running game is every game, with the exception of the Dallas game, they've been playing from so far behind.
Right.
That,
what would you call this? 30, 20?
Well, I'm saying they're so far behind they can't run the ball.
Ugh.
They can't run the ball. The bigger issue in this game, you want to talk about,
besides the sacks?
Not on the same page. Hakeem Nicks, no catches. Zero. Zero catches, 0 yards.
Yeah.
What are you doing? It's not, and listen, I know I've bashed Victor Cruz, and I'm not talking about it like that. But it's not the Victor Cruz. It's not the New York Cruises. It's not just his team.
No, it's not.
You gotta spread the ball around. When Reuben Randall is out catching Hakeem Nicks, there's an issue with your offense.
Reuben Randall, 2 grabs for 40 yards. Victor Cruz, 3 for 25. Brandon Myers, 3 for 33.
Okay.
Awful. Awful.
Reuben Randall had 2 more catches and 40 more yards than Hakeem Nicks. And Hakeem Nicks is your number one.
You add those 3 together, they still don't come up with a 100-yard receiver.
No, terrible.
For the Panthers, Greg Olsen, 4 grabs, 54 yards. Ted Ginn, 3 grabs, 71 yards and a touchdown. Brandon LaFell, 3 of 53.
And I told you.
For 2.
I told you LaFell was going to have a big week.
Yeah.
I knew it. I just felt it. if you, for right now, for the foreseeable future, if you have any wide receivers that are playing against the Giants, or that there's a guy like Donnie Avery this week with Kansas City, pick him up. Because, well, Espo did. I just started cutting throats on everybody. I just started sitting there and picking people up because I wait for the waiver wire to go through.
Right.
And then I'll see who's left, and I just start grabbing.
That's what I do.
So I would take any wide receiver that isn't the team's number one and start them again if they're playing the Giants.
Yeah. This game, to me, is another bit of a surprise. The Baltimore Ravens beating out the Texans 30-9.
Oh, it was humiliating. Humiliating. It was,
what happened?
It was a little bit of chip on their shoulder that Ed Reed is gone. Want to show them who's boss, you know, what you're missing out on this year. It's a fact of, I just think the Ravens are a better team, and I told everybody last week about Bernard Pierce. What was Pierce's stats?
Bernard Pierce, 24 attempts, 65 yards, and a touchdown.
No Ray Rice means Bernard Pierce gets the workload. Ray Rice is still questionable this week, so I don't know if that's going to happen. I would keep Bernard Pierce in your back pocket. Wait until about 12:30. Once you hear everything going on, throw him back in. How was the Schaub Flacco matchup?
Almost even, honestly. Flacco, 16 of 24 for 171 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Matt Schaub threw it a lot more. 25 of 35 for 194 yards, no TDs and an interception. Both very pedestrian numbers.
Yeah, but you know what? Flacco never wows anybody. Neither did Schaub. Schaub is the most pedestrian of pedestrian quarterbacks.
Right.
He's good on the play action. That's really about it. That's okay. What he does. This game, DeAndre Hopkins had a decent game. I think he had about 80 yards.
60 yards. Six grabs, 60 yards.
Okay. Andre Johnson was held in check. And how's Torrey Smith doing? Because I don't think he had a good week.
Decent. 5 grabs, 92 yards.
Okay. I was thinking of the week before. Torrey Smith has been that guy, that number one guy that everybody wanted, and now it's kind of like he shouldn't be the number one. And
right.
As we get to later on games, Anquan Boldin, you see, was the class of that team as far as receiving goes.
Yeah. I mean, there were really, it was pretty much a very defensive game. There was no offensive production really at all.
Baltimore stepped up and showed why they were the Super Bowl champions, and I don't like Houston. I mean, I love Houston, but I just don't like them against good teams, I guess. They kind of choke, even at home.
Surprise of the week for me, Cleveland Browns 31, Minnesota Vikings 27.
And Adrian Peterson's daughter couldn't believe that his daddy lost to the Browns.
I can't believe it either.
Vikings have played 3 games so close, and that game was a trap game for a lot of suicide pools. Because I know a couple of people that took Minnesota, and they're like, oh, Minnesota's playing Cleveland. I got to take that game. I said, don't do it. Don't do it.
Brandon Hoyer came out like a man possessed.
Good for him. Good for the Browns. That fire sale is on, though, because they're looking like Gordon is going to be gone soon. So is Greg Little. I mean, they're looking to trade them before the deadline.
They're really looking to kind of do what the Colts did last season, bring in a whole bunch of youth and try to build that dynasty.
I was having a conversation about this last night because everybody's saying, oh, Cleveland was a one-shot deal. It's a flash in the pan. They're not going to do it again this week. That's why I'm staying away from that Cincinnati-Cleveland game as far as betting it. But
Cleveland right now has a very big chip on its shoulder.
Absolutely.
And they've got nothing to lose.
And now they're guaranteed 2 first-round picks next year. One of them is going to be a top 10 pick, and the other one's going to be a top going to be in the 20s. So you can address 2 offensive needs with a quarterback and a running back in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the stats, Brian Hoyer, 30 completions, 54 attempts, 321 yards, 3 TDs, 3 INTs.
The INTs you got to watch.
Right, but you know what? It's his first start.
The INTs against the subpar Minnesota Vikings defense. And I told everybody to start the Vikings defense last week. They actually got you points because of the turnovers.
Right. Christian Ponder for the Vikings, 25 of 42 for 228 yards.
Ponder out this week.
Yes.
Matt Castle is starting.
Yes. No TDs and an interception. The rushing stats, really, I mean, Josh Aubrey for Cleveland, one rush, 34 yards. Agbayana, two rushes for 23 yards. Josh Gordon, 1 for 22.
Did McGahee get any touches?
McGahee had a god-awful game. 8 touches, 9 yards.
Well, the Vikings' run defense is kind of stout, so I'm really not going to put too much stock into that.
Yeah, well, and you got to get. You only had a couple days to really get into the playbook.
How did ADAP do?
25 rushes, 88 yards, which is really kind of low for him.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it was just a rough game all around. Cleveland Browns. Anybody who started Jordan Cameron?
My wife.
Oh, my God.
Jordan Cameron's been a tight end beast. He's second in the league in points, only behind Jimmy Graham for all tight ends.
6 grabs, 66 yards, found the end zone 3 times.
1 on a fake field goal.
Right.
On a fake field goal, and he was lined up, and I'm looking, I'm like, is that Jordan Cameron? My wife is already doing her touchdown, like old school Ace Ventura, when he spikes the ball at the nut house. Yeah, so she was happy. It was a good week for anybody who had Jordan Cameron.
Josh Gordon, 10 grabs, 146 yards and a touchdown.
Anybody who started Josh Gordon, you are much smarter than us.
Right. Devon Best, 7 grabs for 67 yards. Everything else was pretty pedestrian. The Vikings, AP, 6 grabs for 27 yards. The only other one really worth mentioning is Cordarrelle Patterson, 2 grabs for 49 yards.
Cordaro, love my boy. Saying that Tennessee Vol.
And Greg Jennings, 3 for 43. Nothing really standing out there.
No.
Let's bounce over to New Orleans beating up on the Arizona Cardinals, 31-7.
West Coast team going to an East Coast city to play a 1 o'clock game. Bet against them all the time. I don't care if the spread is 20 points.
Yeah, but you know what? Beyond that. The New Orleans Saints are a much better team than the Arizona Cardinals.
The New Orleans Saints are benefiting from Sean Payton being back. That Payton Drew Brees Love Jones is in full effect, and they don't even need a running game.
No.
They don't. They don't have a running game. Imagine if they had an Adrian Peterson. Imagine if they had a Trent Richardson.
Forget it.
They'd never lose.
No.
And they have no defense, and they're only giving up 7 points. But go ahead.
We'll start off with Carson Palmer, 18 of 35, 187 yards, 2 picks. For the Saints, Breeze, 29 of 46, 342 yards, 3 TDs and a pick. It's a good day.
Yeah.
It's a very good day. Very pedestrian for Carson Palmer.
Drew Breeze was like 6 yards off. Well, what do you have, 342?
342.
He was 8 yards off everybody in a lot of leagues. If you throw for 350 yards or you throw for 400 yards, you get that bonus.
Bonus,
fee.
Yeah.
He was 8 yards off a lot of people's bonuses.
So, going to the rushing stats, nothing really to speak of for either team. Rashard Mendenhall was the leading rusher for the Cardinals, 9 attempts, 29 yards. Alphonso Smith, 3 rushes for 27 yards and a touchdown. And for the Saints, Kiri Robinson, 4 rushes for 38 yards. Drew Brees rushed 6 times for 21 yards and a touchdown. Good for him. The receiving stats for the Cardinals, obviously. Excuse me one second. The receiving stats, obviously, very, very pedestrian. Larry Fitzgerald, 5 of 64. Michael Floyd, 4 of 49. No touchdowns to be mentioned for them. And for the Saints, Jimmy Graham, 9 grabs, 134 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Love it, love it, love it.
Big time right there.
Wide receiver position is so deep this year. Getting back on fantasy, not to get too sidetracked. Wide receiver is so deep that you needed a tight end that could actually shoulder that load. And taking Jimmy Graham in the first or second round is the smartest move anybody can make.
Yeah. Yeah. Marquez Colston, 5 grabs, 71 yards. Pierre Thomas, 6 grabs for 39 yards. And Robert Meacham, 2 grabs, 34 yards and a touchdown. Not bad at all. We'll do this one last one before we go to break. Dallas Cowboys beating up on the Rams, 31-7 also.
DeMarco Murray had a day.
Yeah, he was full-on beast mode.
And the first time DeMarco Murray was played against the St. Louis Rams, he rushed for over 200 yards. This week, I think he had 176?
175.
175, I was
26
close.
Attempts, 175 yards, and a touchdown. That's a phenomenal day.
If DeMarco Murray played the St. Louis Rams every day, he'd be a first-round pick in every fantasy league.
He'd also be a 3-million-yard rusher.
Good.
passing stats, Sam Bradford, 29 of 48 for a touchdown, 249 yards. And Tony Romo, 17 of 24, 210 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks.
If Tony Romo throws the ball less than 30 times a game, it's pretty safe to say that the Cowboys are up big.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Romo's one of those 40 attempt guys.
Rushing for the St. Louis Rams, non-existent. Isaiah Pede, 6 attempts for 20 yards, and he was the leading rusher.
Yeah, Darrell Richardson is killing me. I have him in a couple of leagues, and I started him this week.
I actually dumped him this week.
You dropped him?
Yeah.
Smart. He's not running with any purpose. He was a good change of pace back with Steven Jackson, but now that he's gone, he's not a number one.
There's no pace to change.
No. You can't change reverse.
No. The receiving stats, I mean, St. Louis, their leading receiver was Chris Givens for 2 grabs, 54 yards. Jared Cook, 5 for 44. Isaiah Pete, 7 of 43. The only person with a touchdown for them was Austin Pettis. He had 2 receptions for 20 yards. Heading on over to the Cowboys. Jason Witten was the big guy on campus. 5 grabs for 67 yards.
Roll Vols.
Dez Bryant, 4 grabs, 38 yards and a touchdown. Dwayne Harris and Gavin Escobar, each with a grab, each with 24 yards, each with a touchdown.
Gavin Escobar should be selling coke off a boat in Panama somewhere. That's what that name sounds like.
Miles Austin, 2 grabs for 22 yards. Very unlikely.
And Miles Austin is nursing another hamstring injury, so.
Yeah.
He didn't practice like half this week.
Yep. All right, we still got about 8 more games to cover, 6-7 from last week in the Thursday night game. But we are going to take a quick break. You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on morelikeradio.com, and we will be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Joe Conte's girlfriend. One thing I can always count on is when I listen to him on the show, he will never embarrass me. Until I heard him read some putrid poetry he wrote about some ex-girlfriend that broke his heart. Wah, what a pansy.
Years ago, I made some, I call them writings, I don't want to call them poetry.
I'm buying into that word, too.
Writings,
Frank, they're writings.
The writings.
And the Ten Commandments are writings. You made poems.
Basically, it was a girl.
The writings
girl
of Joe Conte.
Girl who ripped my heart out.
Uh-huh.
And years ago, before we came here, I was sure it was a girl.
Uh-huh.
Before we came here, I thought it would be great radio to bring the writings in and do them on the air.
I keep saying writings.
And the vicious attack I got, the vicious beating that I took deserved, yes.
Yeah.
But I was telling these girls, but see, what everybody forgets is that I never sent them to
What's your
her.
Pen name, Edgar Allan Poe?
The Conte and Kenny Show.
Damn it, can a guy masturbate in this house?
Did somebody bet me how many washcloths I could fit in my butt, or did I do this just for fun?
I'm sorry, ham radio, but you left me no other choice. I called the FCC.
Don't have a vitamin chance of being successful on radio, you idiot!
We're tired of you infecting people with your smut. This is an epidemic, and it must be contained.
I will not have it happening in my own house.
Fuck you and everyone else. People freaking love us. We're gonna be huge.
This is ham radio, because once you go ham, fuck everything else.
This is Ham Radio. Be part of the problem, not part of the solution. Tuesdays, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here on...
Bringing internet radio to the next level. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's more like radio.
This year's the Bull of the Woods, Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, the 3-time world heavyweight champion, Blue-Eyed Soul, son of a plumber, living on the end of a lightning bolt. And you're listening to Mark Out Radio from 2 to 4 p.m. exclusively every Sunday on morelikeradio.com, if you will.
morelikeradio.com. It's our duty to entertain you. I said duty.
We are back. Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com, giving you everything you need to know about the NFL. Coming into the week, we're going to get back to recapping last week. We're going to try to bang it out real quick so we can get into the previews. Tennessee Titans beating out the San Diego Chargers 20-17.
Great comeback in this game. It was touch and go the whole way. Jake Locker, who I still am not sold on, but he's proving me wrong, which is what I want to see happen.
23 of 37 for 299 yards and a touch.
The big touchdown. Who caught that touchdown?
Justin Hunter.
Yeah, that was the play at the end of the game. It was like on a go route to the end, to the back of the end zone. And hey, Tennessee's looking good, and they got the Jets this week, so they're rolling.
Yeah, Nate Washington was the leading receiver for the Titans. 8 grabs, 131 yards. Kendall Wright, 6 of 71. Phillip Rivers, 20 of 24 for 184 yards and a touchdown. Very, very pedestrian.
Yeah, but you know what? He was on point. I mean, 20 of 24, he only missed four attempts. He didn't turn the ball over.
No.
Phillip Rivers having a quietly good season so far.
Yeah.
Quietly good. No, everybody kind of wrote him off, but good for him.
Absolutely. Rushing stats were kind of Ryan Matthews, leading rusher for the Chargers, 16 of 58. Tennessee Titans, Chris Johnson, 19 rushes, 90 yards. And the Jake Locker rushed for a touchdown. He also rushed for 68 yards.
Yeah, Jake Locker had a good week.
Yeah, that's...
It was the Tennessee Lockers.
Yeah. receiving for the Chargers, Woodhead, 7 grabs, 55 yards. Antonio Gates, 55 yards and a touchdown. Everything else kind of...
Blah.
Blah. Blah, 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 blah. Miami Dolphins beating out the Atlanta Falcons 27-23.
Amazing game.
What's up with these Dolphins? Are these guys truly legit, or are they being really hot in the beginning, and are they going to tail off near the end?
They're going to tail off this week, but we'll get to that after. I'm very – I have a shit-eating grin right now because I told everybody they're a team that's – surprising a lot of people, and they're doing it with smoke and mirrors on defense because I don't like their defense.
Right.
Ryan Tannehill has progressed from last year to this year quite nicely.
24 of 35 for 236 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception.
The running game between Miller and Thomas may not get you 100 yards every week, but it's a good change of pace where they're just going to pound the rock.
Right, which they did.
And the receiving core looks good. I mean, Hartline looks fantastic. Mike Wallace, they're finally getting him the ball. Charles Clay has been a welcome addition to tight end since Dustin Keller is out.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I'm a Jet fan, I'm happy to see the Dolphins playing better. And Joe Philbin, right now, coach of the year after 3 games, he's been the best addition of a head coach that I've seen in the last 5 years.
Right, and he struggled last year, and this year he's turning them around.
And he's got the right pieces in place to run a Joe Philbin offense.
Absolutely. Matt Ryan, 23 of 38, 231 yards, 2 TDs and a touchdown. As obviously, you can see Tannehill and Ryan's numbers almost identical.
Mm-hmm.
rushing, Jaquizz Rodgers, 8 rushes, 86 yards. For the Dolphins, Lamar Miller, 8 rushes for 62 yards. I actually had him riding the bench. Receiving, Julio Jones, 9 grabs, 115 yards, no touchdowns. Jason Snelling, 4 grabs, 58 yards, and a touchdown.
Snelling did well for me last week. He had a good rushing game, and he had a good receiving game. He had close to 100 yards of total offense. And certainly, as a flex guy, that's really all you're looking for.
Yeah, pretty much. And leading receiver for the Dolphins was Brian Hartline, 4 grabs, 56 yards, and a touchdown. Nothing else to really mention as far as that's concerned. Jacksonville Jaguars lose to the Seattle Seahawks. Where's my money? 45-17.
Yeah, it was.
How was that 19-point spread, Chris?
It would have been a lot worse. It would have been a lot worse if they would have kept the starters in. Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch kind of. I think Marshawn Lynch only played maybe a quarter and a half. If that. Listen, I don't like huge spreads like that. When I see huge spreads like that, I think of college football. And honestly speaking, Jacksonville, I'm surprised. I finally got to sit down and watch a whole Jacksonville game. And why would you want to watch a whole Jacksonville game? But yeah. I had a vested interest in that game. Besides,
were you on high amounts of no-dose on cocaine?
No.
just the only way you could
besides,
stay up for it.
Besides the friendly bet Will and I had Seattle in the suicide pool. Because to me, that was a no-brainer. If it's a straight pick 'em, it's really a no-brainer.
Right, absolutely.
But I didn't realize how bad they truly are. But now they get Justin Blackmon back. next week. This is the last week of his suspension. Him and Cecil Shorts, great. They just have no one to throw it, throw them the ball.
Right.
MJD is a sinking ship in that on that team.
MJD was 19 rushes, 43 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, that's not MJD numbers. That's not the MJD everybody knows. The defense, they have no secondary. They have one linebacker in Paul Posluszny, and they have maybe one down lineman in Jason Babin. Other than that, I never truly took a step back and looked at how terrible this team is.
Yeah. Although Chad Henne's numbers for last week, not terrible, at least for yardage. 18 of 38 for 235 yards, two interceptions.
And I would say about 12 of those completions were against the second team defense. They definitely weren't against Richard Sherman and company. It wasn't happening.
No.
I personally put the London nonsense to the side. Keep up these numbers, Jacksonville will be in Los Angeles before 2016.
Okay.
Well, the announcement of them moving.
Right. Russell Wilson, 14 of 21, 202 yards, 4 TDs, and an interception. Tavarius Jackson saw a little bit of action for the Seahawks. 7 completions, 8 attempts, 1 touchdown, 129 yards.
It was a preseason game. That's all
pretty
it was.
Much.
And plus, on top of all of that, Seattle was home.
Oh, wait. Tavarius Jackson also rushed for a touchdown.
Yeah, of course he did. So we're going to go double or nothing this week when we get to this week's games. But that's besides
the point. Receiving stats. Cecil Shorts, 8 grabs, 143 yards for Jacksonville.
And how many passing yards did Chad Henne have?
235. So he basically had a large bulk.
More than a half.
Right. Receiving stats. Golden Tate, 5 grabs, 88 yards. Cindy Rice, 5 grabs, 79 yards, 2 touchdowns. Zach Miller, 2 grabs, 5 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Fantastic.
Luke Wilson, 5 grabs, 76 yards, no touchdowns. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's nothing else to say.
Well, it wasn't a good week for Jacksonville fans.
No. Indianapolis Colts, 27. San Francisco 49ers, 7.
Yeah, and we're going to touch on the Thursday game as they make a resurgence. But Indy came in with something to prove. It was the Andrew Luck, Jim Harbaugh game. That was everybody talked about. If no one knows, Jim Harbaugh was Andrew Luck's coach at Stanford 2 years ago. And then you also had the fact that Jim Harbaugh has never lost 2 games back-to-back as a coach of the San Francisco 49ers.
Can't say that now.
All of those things happened, and it happened on the road. Even with T-Rich not playing that much, Ahmad Bradshaw played a lot more than T-Rich, and Ahmad Bradshaw is hurt this week. So you're going to see the bulk of carries for T-Rich.
Yeah.
It was a statement game for Indy, especially with Houston losing. Indy may take that division.
Yeah. Bradshaw, 19 attempts and 95 yards on a touchdown. Trent Richardson, 13 of 35, found the end zone once also.
On his first carry. It was 1 attempt, 1 yard, 1 touchdown.
There you go. Andrew Luck, 17 completions, 26 attempts, 159 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Colin Kaepernick, 13 of 27 for 150 yards, 1 INT, no touchdowns.
That was back-to-back weeks that Kaepernick was horrendous. And help me out, because I beat the undefeated Mama of Two last week in the Fantasy League.
You certainly did.
And she actually had the worst showing of the week. She had 65 points.
It
was bad.
I didn't have a great showing either, but I still wound up winning because, Peyton Manning.
Exactly.
Denver all.
Yeah, exactly.
I had 3 Denver players.
But Kaepernick had back-to-back just horrendous weeks.
Absolutely. Receiving stats, DHB, 5 grabs, 59 yards. Reggie Wayne, 4 grabs, 58 yards. For the 49ers, Anquan Boldin was the leading receiver, 5 grabs, 67 yards. Nothing else really to talk about as far as receiving for the 49ers there. Jets beating out the Bills 27-20.
Awesome game. I wound up watching the entire second half. I actually shut off Red Zone, which is surprising.
Right.
I watched that game. Santonio Holmes had a beast of a game. Geno Smith looked good.
16 of 29 for 331 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. Not bad.
It was just, I'm happy with the progression of Geno Smith. I'm tired. I'm really tired of the Jet Giant nonsense. Listen, when our team wins a Super Bowl and it hasn't been 40 years, then we're allowed to talk as a Jet fan.
Okay.
As a journalist, it's funny to see, but as a New York fan, we need to stop we have nothing. The Giants have everything. It may not be showing and translating this year, but we have nothing.
Right.
It's been a lot of smoke and mirrors, and I keep saying that. It's a reoccurring theme because it's the truth. Santonio Holmes had 150 yards. Everybody picked him up in fantasy. Watch this week. He has 50 yards.
Right. Stephen Hill also had – he had three grabs for 108 yards. Both guys had a touchdown.
Stephen Hill was targeted seven times. He had three drops. He's got to stop the drops. It's getting annoying now.
Yeah. I much agreed.
And we need him because Jeremy Curley's out.
Yep. E.J. Manuel, 19 of 42, 243 yards and a touchdown. Fred Jackson was the leading receiver for Buffalo. I can't believe he's still actually playing.
C.J. Spiller is hurt.
C.J. Spiller, 10 rushes for 9 yards. Fred Jackson, 7 rushes for 72 yards. Bilal Powell, monster day. 27 rushes, 149 yards, no touchdowns.
He's taking over the job of Chris Ivory.
He certainly is. Chris Ivory, four rushes, 5 yards.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Good, good. You know what? You shouldn't have made any moves for getting Mike Goodson and Chris Ivory. You had something with Bilal Powell last year. You saw it as a change of pace back, which when Sean Green couldn't handle the rock. You should have just went with Bilal Powell, and this goes to show you. And Joe McKnight would still have a job.
Bears beat up on the Steelers, 40-23. I don't even know what else to say.
Steelers look horrendous.
Horrendous isn't even the word. There we go. Roethlisberger, 26 of 41 for 406 yards. Jesus Christ. Cutler, 20 of 30, 159 yards. Matt Forte, leading rusher, 16 rushes for 87 yards. Nothing really to talk about as far as the rushing game for the Steelers are concerned. Receiving for the Bears, nobody had more than 52 yards. Although for the Steelers, Antonio Brown, 196 yards, 2 touchdowns. How do you have a receiver have almost 200 yards and not win? I don't know.
Turnovers.
I mean.
Turnovers. There was too many fumbles. The Bears defense is just that good. There was actually a play where they stripped Roethlisberger and in midair, Julius Peppers caught it and ran back for a touchdown.
Right. Going on to the Monday night game, Broncos beat up on the Raiders 37-21. Again, just monster day anybody on Denver.
It wasn't even fair.
No.
It wasn't even fair. It was just like the Seattle-Jacksonville game. Here's the problem, and this can lead us into break because then we can start talking about next week's games. Is that cool?
Yeah, we can do it. We can do an early break.
All right.
Actually, we got to do Thursday night's game, and then we can.
Yes, there we go. Perfect. All right, so it's too easy to pass in this league now. All right? I'm going to start that right off the bat. The offense has gotten too ridiculous. And I was watching Monday Night Football coverage, and Steve Young had a perfect idea. And this is coming from a quarterback. Allow the 5-yard bump again.
Yeah.
If you allow the 5-yard bump again between the interaction between a cornerback and a wide receiver, what will happen is guys like Darrell Revis will get to be even more handsy and touchy-feely on these wide receivers. They can't even play that close on them. They have to play 10 yards back and give them a cushion. If you're going to give anybody a cushion with a guy like Stafford or Peyton Manning throwing the ball to him, they will nickel and dime you to death. Yeah. And they're going to throw. What did Peyton Manning have? Maybe 5 incompletions the entire game? 7 at most?
He had 5. Okay. 32 of 37 for 374 yards and 3 TDs.
It's ridiculous. I mean, and I'm reaping the benefits in one league. You're reaping the benefits in this league.
Yep.
We have Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's going to throw this week for almost 500 yards because of the team he's playing.
God but, willing.
Yeah, exactly. For you. But it's I love football, but it's deplorable to see it be this easy.
Yeah, it shouldn't be this easy for a passing game. Terrell Pryor, 19 of 28, 281 yards and a touchdown. Terrell Pryor rushed for 36 yards. He was the leading rusher. Denver Broncos, Ronnie Hillman, 66 yards. Monty Ball, 61 rushing yards. Hillman had the touchdown. Receiving yards, Demaryius Moore for Oakland, 124 yards, 1 touchdown. And Eric Decker, monster day for Denver, 8 grabs, 133 yards. Demaryius Thomas, 10 grabs, 94 yards. Wes Welker, 7 of 84. Julius Thomas, 3 of 37. Welker, Decker, and Thomas each had a touchdown.
Peyton Manning has just broke the record for the most touchdowns in 3 weeks in NFL history. He's got 12 touchdowns. He's got 0 interceptions.
Right.
Yes, he's on the cusp of being prone set up for that bad week. I just don't see it happening anytime soon, though.
Yep. I'm sorry.
He's going to shatter Tom Brady's 50 touchdown season.
I hope so.
He's going
to
shatter it.
I hope so. I'd like to see that. Going to the Thursday night game, 49ers beat up on the St. Louis Rams 35-11.
Yes, this is actually the week four Thursday night
right,
game.
Week four Thursday night game.
Kaepernick with a resurgence comes back, looks fantastic.
Yeah, but even still, very pedestrian numbers for him. Very pedestrian numbers. 15 of 23 for 167 yards, and then he rushed for 11 yards. He had two touchdowns. It's nice.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford, 19 of 41 for 202 yards, TD and a pick. Frank Gore and Kendall Hunter. Thank God Kendall Hunter finally did something.
Yeah, I didn't even know he got you that many points.
I didn't know either until I looked. I fell asleep. I had to be at work in the morning. Frank Gore, 20 attempts, 153 yards. Kendall Hunter, 11 of 49, each with a touchdown. Anthony Dixon also had a rushing touchdown in this game. He had a total of 6 yards. For the Rams, Darrell Richardson, 12 rushes, 16 yards. Awful.
Yep.
Receiving stats, Anquan Boldin for the 49ers, 5 grabs, 90 yards and a touchdown. Vernon Davis, who I sat on the bench because he had the hamstring injury, and they said he was very questionable. I took the chance. Got screwed because of it. 2 grabs, 18 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, but you know what? Kendall Hunter's points make up for that.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, Vernon Davis, Kellen Winslow. Kellen Winslow's got to do something for me this week. Right. If he doesn't, I look like a fool. It is what it is. St. Louis Rams receiving Austin Pettis, 5 of 59. Chris Givens, 4 for 49. Jared Cook, 4 for 45. Lance Kendricks, 1 grab, 6 yards and a touchdown. I don't even know what to say. Darrell Richardson, 1 grab for 8 yards and nothing.
Nope.
So, awful, awful, awful. That's all I could say. All right, so we're going to take an early break. When we come back, we're going to start previewing the Week 4 games for you. And, again, tattoos and touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We will be right back.
Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty, Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. on morelikeradio.com.
You know Mary Magdalene was a whore.
Right.
Well, we had to do the whole, for Easter time, we did a play on, you know, the stages of the cross and all that shit. I was Mary Magdalene.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you must have had your hand up for a month waiting to play that part.
Does that just freaking make the most sense in the world for me now?
Tune into Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48. At adamandeve.com.
Welcome to the Sully Show. We're totally insane. We've got dumbasses and folks who are really lame. We got Sully on the soundboard, and Yell is rocking too. And J.E.T. the Redneck, we're all here for you on the Sully Show. Welcome to the Sully Show. Let's bring it to y'all. Shana-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-knees, please.
I want to hear you snore. Join us on the Sully Show live every Sunday, noon to 2 Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zunes, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Tattoos and touchdowns. We are back. MoreLikeRadio.com every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon. Good morning. How are you? So we're done with the recaps. Right now, we are going to go into the previews for the week's games. Chris, bring us there.
I'm sorry. This is another, like last week, you gave me that other Fort Minor song. This is another one. I just want to stop punching people. Love this song. All right, Joe, you got to wake up a little bit now because we're going to be doing our Pros versus Joe segment. Tying into our week four games. First game of the week was already done, was the Thursday night game, so we're going to start with the Sunday games, 1 o'clock in foggy London town, which is actually part of our Pros versus Joe segment. By the way, the standings in the Pros versus Joe segment, Will is starting to run away with this thing.
Yeah.
Will is 11-4, Joe and myself are 7-8. Espo completely shit the bed last week, going 1-4. I take full responsibility, but picking with the spread in 16 games last week, I was 11-5. So go figure.
Yeah, not for nothing. I don't feel so bad now because last week I was 1-4.
Exactly. So I won the Joe C. Award last
week.
Right,
and I'm a stupid fuck. I don't know shit about football.
So apparently I won the stupid fuck award. Anyway. Okay, so the first game is in foggy London town. Pittsburgh, technically, quote unquote, air quotes, at Minnesota. Both teams 0-3. This is part of the NFL International Series that they
the
like
first
to do.
One of two this year.
Yes. Matt Cassel starting for Minnesota. Le'Veon Bell coming back for Pittsburgh, starting for his first game this year. Will, what do you got?
It's tough, man. Wow. You know what? I feel like I really have to go with Pittsburgh. Minnesota's offense really hasn't shown me a lot. I think Adrian Peterson's going to have a good day. I've never really been sold on Cassel, though, as a quarterback. Fair. I mean, he did well with New England that one year, but hasn't been able to do it since. And you know what? When he did well with New England, had a lot more weapons than he does now.
And the spread in this game is... Pittsburgh is favored by 3 points, so that's basically a pick 'em. Anytime you see 3 to 3.5 points in a game, it's a pick 'em game.
And there's a lot of that this week.
Yeah. So you're taking Pittsburgh?
I want to take Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Okay, Joe. Pittsburgh Steelers and the Minnesota Vikings.
Vikings, purple. I kind of like the Vikings in this game. I think they're pretty good. Who's favored in the game anyway?
Pittsburgh by 3.
Yeah, figures. Okay, so I'll take the Vikings. That'll be my upset of the week.
I got to be honest. I know I'm in trouble when I start thinking the same as Joe. I'm taking the Vikings also. I'm taking the Phil Rea Skull Vikings. I got a funny feeling Cassel surprises this week. I think he's a better quarterback than Ponder, especially when it comes to hitting receivers, and he has a decent target with Greg Jennings. So, and I think the X factor in the game, like you just touched on, is Adrian Peterson. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Okay. It's a tough game to pick.
Yeah, I have to stop picking against you to stop making up some ground. I'm 4 games behind anyway. All right, so now we got, this is not part of Pros versus Joes. This is Baltimore on the road, 3-point favorite against Buffalo. I'm taking Baltimore all day.
Yeah, no question, Baltimore. Baltimore's a much better team, even like, though E.J. Manuel was proving himself to be a pretty decent quarterback.
All day, day. I'll take Baltimore in that game.
Yeah.
Pros versus Joes game. We have Cincinnati.
Get my mic up a little bit better.
Cincinnati on the road. Against Cleveland, Cincinnati's a 3.5-point favorite. I'm taking the Bengals in this game. I think last week was a fluke.
Yeah, I pretty much got to go with that also. I think the Bengals are just a better team overall right now.
Joe?
Well, I kind of have to agree because Tigers got stripes. And it's
so do guys. Bengals.
Well, yeah, but...
Bengals
but,
just...
But, you know.
Well, all right.
He's going with Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm going with Cincinnati. They wear purple, too, don't they?
No, they actually wear black and orange.
I like that. Black and Halloween. Very good. Yeah.
It was close, though, with purple.
Well, yeah, it's their time, October.
You said it's their time.
October colors.
So next game up is Indianapolis on the road, 8.5-point favorites against Jacksonville. I'm not making the same mistake twice. I am going with Indy to win this game big. I think T. Rich has a monster day.
Yeah, I think this is going to be his breakout performance. Indianapolis is, listen, even the Giants are better than Jacksonville at this point, and they lost to a shitty team in the Panthers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Indy, no question, even with the spread.
All right, moving right
on. Do you know what they call a Jacksonville Jaguar at the Super Bowl? A referee. That's a bad joke.
Where's my tomato? Throw it.
Jesus.
Never get there.
All right. The close game this week, and I don't know why it's this close, especially after last week's showing. Seattle on the road, 2-point favorite against Houston. I'm taking Seattle in that game.
Yeah.
Houston was lost 30-9 at home on the road last week against Baltimore. I just don't see Houston stepping up in this game.
No.
Everybody, I mean, and this is my Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This is my Super Bowl that I picked before the season started. So this is interesting to see. And as much as I love Houston, everybody's calling me a Houston Texan, like Homer now for some reason. But I think Seattle wins this game. Seattle's too good.
Seattle is too good right now. I mean, and you know what? I don't think it's Seattle being streaky. I don't think it's them having a hot streak. I think they are really legitimately this good. Texans... very surprising in how poorly they've been playing. But, yeah, easy pick, Seattle over Houston.
Houston, has not made one game look convincing, except for their loss.
Right.
They had to come from behind against San Diego. They had to come from behind against Tennessee in overtime. And they got dismantled against Baltimore.
Yep.
That's not a recipe for a winning game against the best, honestly, number one team in the league.
Right.
Pros versus Joe game. We have Arizona on the road. 2.5-point underdog to Tampa Bay. I'm going to keep riding the West Coast team goes to an East Coast city to play a 1 o'clock game. I'm going to take Tampa.
Oh, very good.
You know what? Tampa really hasn't shown me a lot, but neither has Arizona.
And I'm taking the chance because Mike Glennon is making his first start ever for Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Wow. You know what, though? Joe? Go with your pick. I gotta think about this for a second.
I think Tampa Bay is like a tampon. It's only good for one period. So I'm going to have to go with, Buccaneers.
You going with the Buccaneers?
Absolutely, yeah. Because they're good for one period. They don't wear tampons. They're men. Men don't wear tampons. Don't you understand?
I'm thoroughly confused.
Okay. As am I.
Are you going with Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Arizona Cardinals?
The Arizona Cardinals.
There we go. I heard the one period mark. I'm like, wow. Okay.
All right.
What the hell do I know anyway?
You know what? Because Joe just completely confused me, I'm going to pick against him. Now I'm going to pick Tampa Bay also.
You're probably a good bet, let me tell you.
That's a tough one for me.
I'm an opposite barometer. Whatever I say.
Yeah, although I thought you gave me the kiss of death last week, Joe, and we wound up both going 3-2.
Yeah, look at that, huh? Yeah. Do we bet the same?
Yeah, we picked every game identical.
Oh, no wonder I won.
Way to jump on that bandwagon, Joe.
I'm a true fan.
way to piggyback that favorite. All right, so we got a little bit more before, because the other two games that I picked for Pros versus Joe was the Sunday and Monday night games.
Okay.
So these next couple of games are just straight up. We have Detroit at home, 3-point favorites against Chicago. No matter what, I'm taking Chicago. Chicago's 3-0. I like the way the defense has been playing. Detroit is 2-1, but Reggie Bush is banged up. I like the way Chicago forces the turnovers. Matt Forte's having a good season. Cutler looks good. I got to go with Chicago.
Yeah, I could agree with that, Chicago over Detroit.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yes.
No. Okay. The Kansas City Chiefs at home, 4-point favorites against the Giants. I said it. I'm taking the Giants this week. I'll take the points. Because if the Giants win, they're going to win by 3.
I don't know, man. I am not sold with anything the Giants are. I'm not buying anything the Giants are selling right now. I mean, all they're selling is shit. I'm going for Kansas City. I'm going for Kansas City.
You want to make this the double or nothing game?
It's up to you.
Yeah, okay. I'll go double or nothing with the points.
All right.
I'll take the Giants.
I'll take Kansas City.
As I'm wearing a Patriots jersey and I'm a Jet fan. Interesting. Anyway.
And I'm sitting here wearing a Giants jersey, so.
And he wants to burn it.
Yeah.
I just have a funny feeling this week that the hype train for Kansas City comes to a screeching halt.
I hope you're right. I hope the Giants win this, but, you know, like I said last week, if the Giants lost against Carolina, you could write the season off, I don't think. Unless they have some sort of complete turnaround and resurgence, nothing's going to happen for the Giants this week.
I think Jamal Charles goes banana sandwich this week, though. I think Jamal Charles rushes for over .150.
Ooh. That's completely possible. I mean, right now, you or I could run over for over 150 yards against the Giants.
I take that chance.
It's awful.
Okay, we got the Tennessee Titans at home. 3.5-point favorites against my New York Jets, 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 Jets. I want to take the Jets in this game, but I think Tennessee wins. I don't like the Jets on the road yet. Jets are 2-0 at home, 0-1 on the road. Geno Smith, hostile environment for him. Tennessee's a decent crowd. I think Tennessee wins, but it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be like 17-10, 13-7. It's going to be a low-scoring game.
Low-scoring.
Yeah, I got a very defensive game here. Two good defenses. The Jets' defense has surprised me a lot this year.
Oh, the under and over, we take under, right?
Absolutely, we would take the under in this game. The under would probably be about 37. I would take the under on that all day, every day.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Tennessee also. I like the way the Jets are playing right now. They're playing decent ball. I just don't know. I think this is kind of the week Geno Smith, his ego at least, comes crashing back down to earth. You know? I mean, he's got a little bit of swag to him right now, and it's not completely deserved. He's played well. But
swear to God, he looks like Bud from Cosby Show. Just grown up. He really does. The first time I saw him in person, I was like, I just wanted to yell, Bud. Fantastic.
All right, let's move on here.
Oh, and speaking of, because he was playing last week, I'm sorry, and they were playing the Bills, and Phil texted me and said that E.J. Manuel looks like Fozzie Bear.
The Bear.
I was hysterical laughing.
Fozzie Bear.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. So it was Fozzie Bear against Bud last week.
That's
what we had. Okay, so we got Dallas on the road, 2-point favorites against San Diego. San Diego's surprised me, but I think Dallas keeps this train moving, and they're going to take over sole possession of the first place in the NFC East, considering the fact that the entire division is 2-6.
Mm.
I'm sorry, 6-7, 2-8. I'm taking Dallas.
Yeah, I'd take Dallas in this one, too.
Got to take Dallas.
I mean, I think it's going to be close. I would take Dallas with the points, but Dallas is a winner.
Yeah, that 2-point spread is nothing.
Yeah.
Washington, on the road, 3.5-point favorites against Oakland. This should be a higher spread. Matt Flynn is possibly getting the start because Terrell Pryor has still being tested for concussions.
No, he's cleared.
He's cleared.
He's good.
Fantastic.
He's
good. It still should be higher. Washington wins this game, gets their first win of the year. As much as I bashed RG3 and said that they should sit him, I think this is a good feel-good week for him.
This is going to be his breakout game, I think.
200 yards passing, 100 yards receiving, 100 yards rushing. If you guys are 100 yards receiving, that's a fucking day. Yeah, Washington wins this game. Wins it big.
Wins it big.
21-3. Big.
Okay.
Look for Darren McFadden to have a decent day, though. Washington still can't stop the run.
No.
Oh, boy. This game has so many implications for both of us. For me, I have Peyton Manning and Demaryius Thomas in a big money fantasy league. Will has Peyton Manning against me in the TNT Bowl in fantasy this week.
Ooh.
So it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. I have LeSean McCoy in both leagues, so I'm looking for Shady to have a week.
Right.
This game will be the highest scoring game of the week. Denver is at home, giving 11 points to Philly. I firmly believe this is going to be 47-40-ish, 41.
Okay.
I think Denver gets the win. I need Denver to get the win. Am I picking the suicide pool this week? This is the most important game of the week for me in so many ways.
Right.
I think Peyton Manning throws a pick this week. Throws one.
Maybe.
One.
Maybe.
But he's also going to have 5 or 6 touchdowns. Demaryius Thomas, Wes Welker, over 100 yards receiving each. This is going to be a tremendously offensive game. It's a shootout. It's arena football.
Yeah.
Both offense. The Chip Kelly offense and Peyton Manning's just... There's been shots fired between the two teams, too.
Yeah. A lot of smack talk.
Chip Kelly turned around and said, we'll play them anywhere. It doesn't matter. And Peyton Manning went back and said, well, it's nice you gave them 11 days to try to prep against us.
Right.
Trash talk.
Yeah. And from Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning doesn't do that. He doesn't usually get involved in any of that.
No.
That's his Joe Namath days.
I got Denver in this game, though.
I picked Denver as a straight-up winner, but if I'm picking with the points, I'm picking the Eagles. I don't think it's going to be 11 points.
Fair enough. And now we got the Sunday night game, which is part of our Pros versus Joes. Great Sunday night game tonight.
Yeah, it should be a good one.
Thank God. And I'm back in D.C. next week, so I'm going to be in the hotel room for the Monday night game. But the Sunday night game is Atlanta at home, 2.5-point favorites against the Patriots. I'm taking the Patriots in this game, boy. Patriots win this game.
Yeah, I would take the Patriots in this game also. I think
taking them for Pros versus Joe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would take them in this game also. New England started to come into their own last week, so I think they're going to continue to do that. And I think they're good enough to beat the Falcons.
Absolutely, Joe.
Absolutely, I agree. The New England Patriots. First of all, they're a New England team. They're much closer here, and they're wearing white pants. So. That makes a big difference because in Atlanta, the sun reflects off the white. Very hard to see them.
They're in a dome, and it's at night.
Well.
So?
I have no idea what I just heard.
Yeah.
And I think
Atlanta sucks the big Padookie anyway. Everybody knows that. They're not going to be doing anything this year. You know how you keep them off your property? You put a goalpost on it. They're over.
Wow.
Please, if you're my friend, you will isolate Big Padookie. Please. I want that for when I get texts.
The Big Padookie.
Big Padookie. Wow.
Anyway.
As opposed to the small Padookie, which is what I have.
Dick jokes.
Bad ones.
Monday Night Football game. New Orleans at home, 6.5-point favorites over Miami. This is our last game for Pros versus Joes. Will, start us off.
I got to go with New Orleans here. I am thoroughly impressed with the way Miami has played so far. I just think New Orleans is a better team.
Yeah, I'm going New Orleans also. I think Miami's going to wind up with at least a .500 record this year. I'm sorry, Jeff. I know you're a Dolphins fan and you're listening. Thank you for listening. I just think New Orleans has too much firepower.
Yeah, and again, like I could agree with the .500 record for Miami, which is steps up for them.
Yeah.
And steps in the right direction from over the last couple of years. I think this is the week, again, I think this is the week they start coming crashing back down to earth.
If Miami was home, I would take Miami.
Nah, I would still go with New Orleans.
Miami has shown a lot at home, especially again hanging with some big boys, because they hung with Atlanta last week and beat them. I just think Atlanta's not as good as they were last year.
No, neither is. I mean, New Orleans is about the same. The only difference being their head coach is back.
Yeah, and that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Big difference. Yeah. Joe, Miami and the Saints.
Well, you know, this is a hard one because you've got a Fish and Saints, and they're both very passive, you know, especially Dolphins. Dolphins are very passive. I hate to agree with you guys and go with the Saints, so I'm going to take Miami.
Ooh, very nice. Wow. Very nice.
Wow.
So Joe goes against the Pros in two games this week. He's got the Cardinals by himself against apparently the team sponsored by Maxi with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Big Kotex.
And he takes the Dolphins against the Saints, making Jeff Jacob is very happy. Yeah. And that's Pros versus Joes this week, and we'll... Again, let everybody know how it went for next week coming up.
I'm 5 for 5. Yeah. Right now, anyway.
The games, the picks are up on the Facebook page. They're pinned to the top of the page. You can take a look at them if you want to see how Joe, Chris, and I are doing. All right. You want to cut to a quick little break, and then we'll do a little fantasy. We'll do some start 'em and sit 'em and the whole nine yards.
Absolutely.
All right. I like it when we agree on things. It's nice.
I like things.
I like things. Who doesn't like things, honestly?
Stupid.
Tattoos and touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We will be right back.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At T-Fury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTs. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs.
MoreLikeRadio.com, a new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best Sunny Show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The No Name Show.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
Sweet speakers with Lance and Kyle.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
Welcome back to the Ellis and Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
Consume Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
All right, you're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Warning, listening to More Like Radio in large quantities may result in the following in no specific order.
Shenanigans, pure stupidity, anal leakage, bleeding from the ears, melting eyes, internal bleeding, loss of brain cells, delusions of invincibility, delusions of grandeur, loss of dignity and no balance, imagined gains in height, fitness, and sexual prowess, inability to correctly judge sexual appeal of yourself or others, and athlete's foot.
Audience participation is welcomed. If not, screw you! Thank you.
Do you like video games? Are you a little antisocial? Well, listen to Antisocial Gamer Radio, Tuesdays from 3 to 5 on morelikeradio.com.
We are back. Tattoos and touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. Every Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon.
We got Sully on right after us.
Sully's on right after us. This week, actually, Sully's going to be a replay.
Okay.
He can't be live this week.
And Antisocial Gamer Radio, let me just say, it's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every show on More Like Radio is fantastic, but I'm a gamer, Antisocial Gamer. Hysterical.
You know what? I got to be honest with you. I used to be a hardcore gamer. I used to play a lot. And then, you know, life gets in the way. Kids get in the way. You know, so, but listening to them, very entertaining. Keeps me up to date on what's going on in the video game world. And I very much appreciate that.
And, of course, you got the gold standard with Ham Radio.
That's right. The gold standard. The uncrowned kings of reality radio and every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 1.
Uncle Eddie, I promise, not this week, the following week, I'll be back on your NFL Picks and Punishment.
Yes.
I got one more travel week.
I'm going to try to, if you can't do it this week, I'm going to try to call in. It was a tough week this past week for both of us. So, all right, here we go. We've covered last week. We've previewed this week. Now, it's time to go into a little fantasy football.
Yeah, we get to take our time and explain, like last week, I'm actually going to give a recap of the Friends of the Show League, what happened last week.
Congratulations on your first one, by the way.
Thank you.
Very proud of you.
About time.
Very proud of
you. Shit. and it would have been even better. Actually, if Dawn would have paid attention to her team, she would have kicked my ass.
Yes, I yelled at her about that.
Because Eddie Lacy was out. If she would have started anybody else at the running back position, she would have been fine. That game, TNT beats Mama of Two, 90. I'm just going to round up, 90 to 70. The Rattleheads beat up on Jeff's Poisonous Players, 130 to 79. We had C Says Hi taking the win over Vic's Doggy Daycare. C Said Hi had the biggest point total of the week with 143.
Yep.
Vic's Doggy Daycare at 111. Kira's been MIA lately. I actually have to send her a text and say hi. The Flying Teabags beat the Metalheads 90 to 80. Metalheads, shout out to Dustin and T-Rex. Great guys.
Yeah.
Every week they're the ones posting for us, letting us know that, letting everybody know, their friends know, that we're on More Like Radio. We had I Yell and Hoot At loses by a point.
Got her first loss of the season.
By a point to Jin's 47.
And he got his first win of the season.
Hot Pickles humiliated my wife's team, Sanchez's Headband, 138 to 63.
And just right now, the Sweeney Boys are the bee's knees in this league.
The Sweeney Boys are taking over.
Both
in the Tattoos division, Flying Teabags 3-0. In the Touchdown division, Hot Pickles 3-0.
Yeah!
And Team Grimace moves to 2-1 with a 117 to 102 thumping of Tracy's Can't Touch This. I won this week, and with the exception of Will's Flying Teabags, I would have lost to every other team this week that won.
Right.
It's been a rough year for my team. I'm going over my team now, and I'm going to pose some questions to Will. Week three wise, let's go back. I started Tony Romo. Romo had a decent week for me. I started James Starks, which was starting out great until James Starks got hurt. Dwayne Bowe only had a point last week on the Thursday night game. Jason Snelling was on my bench. If I would have started Jason Snelling, it would have been fantastic. But I didn't.
Right.
Charles Clay. It's just, you get to a point where I feel like I have nothing.
Yeah.
I feel like I have nothing. And LeSean McCoy can only carry me so far.
Yeah, and you know what? You actually have decent guys on your team. You have decent guys on your team. I don't know how Dwayne Bowe only had one grab for 4 yards. That's baffling to me. Torrey Smith, he's normally got much better numbers than that. I don't get it. You know, I mean, even though it's, it is what it is. I don't know.
I just got to interject really quick. Jeff is in the chat room asking, should he start Santana Moss or Fred Jackson? Not Fred Avery, Fred Jackson. Bitch, you got out of the call looking more like Freddie Jackson. Don't laugh, it ain't funny.
It certainly is.
I would start Fred Jackson this week. Let me take a look at your team, Jeff, and Will and I will take a quick looky-loo, as they like to say.
Poisonous Players and Vicks. You're playing Vicks Doggy Daycare this week. Let's see. Jeff. Michael Vick, decent start. Jaquizz Rodgers, Marshawn Lynch, Robert Meacham, Tompkins, Colby Fleener. All right. Eagles defense, if I were you, you don't have a choice. You got the Packers defense as your backup. All right. Wow. Santana Moss. Wait a second.
But you don't have Freddie Jackson either. Are you in another league? Answer me right now.
He is in another league.
Okay.
All right.
So start Fred. I would start Fred Jackson over Santana Moss. Personally, Fred Jackson's going to get the bulk of the carries. I know he's playing Baltimore, but CJ Spill is banged up.
Yeah, it's a tough one, too, because, I mean, you got Washington playing Oakland, and, you know, receivers could have a field day against them.
I'm sitting here, finally he tells us it's for his other team. I'm sitting here going, you have none of the guys we're talking about. First of all, Fred Avery doesn't exist.
Yes, well, he might. He exists somewhere.
He's sitting there going, hey, they're talking about me.
You know what? I think Santana Moss is going to have a good game against Oakland. You know, I think I would start Santana Moss over Freddie Jackson.
So now we're split on this. I flip a coin. if anybody wants to call in, let me actually give everybody the number.
The phone number is 908-854-4228. Give a call. Give us your questions. We'll see what we can do for you.
Yeah. So, honestly, Jeff, flip a coin. If it's a PPR league, points per reception league, go with Santana Moss.
Yeah.
If it's a straight-up points league, go with Fred Jackson. I think that's fair.
Okay.
Because Santana Moss is the third option right now on offense, passing-wise, for RG3. Number one is Pierre Garçon, whether you like to admit it or not.
It's fine.
Leonard Hankerson has slowly become that number two. Santana Moss has been that possession guy.
Right.
So, and then you have Alfred Morris out of the backfield. So he's splitting time at the three. If it's a PPR league, go with Santana. If it's a straight-up points league, I would go with Fred Jackson.
All right. Fair enough.
So moving right along, we have the TNT Bowl. Can we talk about the TNT Bowl?
We should. Right now, I am in the lead by a point.
And I've already had two people go. I had Jared Cook start, and I had Greg Zuerlein go for me.
This game will be over tonight. I got Lamar Miller tomorrow night.
Will came up tremendous with Kendall Hunter. Good idea plugging him in. I was very, very surprised that he even got as many points as he did. It was the rushing touchdown that put you over the top.
Absolutely. 49 yards, one rushing TD, and he also had 9 receiving yards. So that helped a little bit too. But, I mean, look at what my options were. Brandon Jacobs. Darryl Richardson.
Who's now not a part of the Flying Teabags anymore.
Well, I'm trying to dump him. I guess the waiver wire transaction hasn't gone through yet. And Justin Forsett. None of them have done anything for me. Brandon Jacobs had the best week out of all of them for me. When I first picked him up, he had the touchdown, but that was it.
Right.
So, you know, it was a tough decision for me.
The Vernon Davis...
easy decision, excuse me.
The Vernon Davis one may come back to bite you in the butt if Kellen Winslow doesn't produce.
Yeah, but again, Kellen Winslow was when I looked, and I looked on Thursday, I looked at, like, right before I left work, so it was like 8 o'clock.
Right.
And it still had Vernon Davis as questionable and Kellen Winslow as very probable. What am I supposed to do?
No, I agree 100%.
You know, that's why the one thing I hate about fantasy is your players have a game-time decision for injuries.
Yes.
I hate it.
100%. Speaking of game-time decisions, Andre Johnson is a game-time decision for you. He's questionable.
Yeah, but he's
a gamer.
Yeah, he plays.
Miles Austin, for me, when he's sitting on the bench, is out. I'm rolling the dice this week by benching Tony Romo. I'm going with Flacco against Buffalo. I think if Geno Smith can throw for 270 yards against Buffalo, Flacco should have just as good a game, if not better.
And I'm relying on Santonio Holmes as my flex.
Absolutely. You have two Jets.
Yep.
You have two Jets. I have no Jets. And you're a Giant fan. I'm rolling the dice also this week with Donnie Avery. Like I said before, Donnie Avery, I think, needs to be that guy this week you start. I'm benching Dwayne Bowe. If it bites me in the ass, it bites me in the ass. I picked him up off the waiver wire. And I have DeAndre Hopkins against Seattle. I'm not completely sold on that. That may change. It may change to David Wilson. I don't know. That's the problem.
Right.
Because
yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins is going up against Seattle. And so is Andre Johnson. Seattle's the best secondary in the league. But these are when fantasy leagues are won and lost, because once the buys start and you really have to make that decision. Like anybody who's playing Will week 9, lick their chops. No Peyton Manning. Will's gotta come up with Cutler that week. Hope he comes up. For me, that's something I got to worry about in my other league when that time comes.
Who am I playing in week 9? Now I'm curious.
The other game this week, besides the Poisonous Players and Vic's Doggy Daycare, is Metalheads and Rattleheads.
That should be an easy game for me week 9. I'm playing Vic's Doggy Daycare.
Oh, boo. Okay.
Sorry, Kira.
We got Dustin and my friend Mike. Rattleheads are up 22-0 right now because Rattleheads had Frank Gore in, and Gore went bananas. He also had Phil Dawson from 49ers, the kicker, but he missed two misses from 50 plus yards. I feel bad because they actually attempted in that game a 71 yard free kick field goal, which is returnable.
What?
Yeah, it's a rule that never gets used, but at the end of a half, actually at any time really, you can attempt a free kick. You give up everything else for that drive. So if it's first down, doesn't matter. You start a free kick with a place holder, holding the ball, like finger on the ball. And if you get it through the uprights, it's a field goal. But it's returnable. If you miss, or if you miss from that spot, the other team gets the ball right there.
Right.
If you miss completely, it's weird. Harbaugh credit for even attempting it.
Right. And the Rams, Jeff Fisher was actually quite annoyed with the fact that they actually tried to run it back. I mean, like, as soon as the guy ran it back, as soon as the play was over, they cut to a shot of Jeff Fisher, and he just sat there and was like, why?
Because bad things can happen. You fumble, return, like...
Not even that. It was a 71-yard attempt.
Right.
You now have the ball on a 39-yard line. Easy field goal.
Just let it go.
Easy field goal
just
if you
let it go. The other reason why the Rattleheads are starting certain guys this week...
The whole team is on a bye.
Four Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton, Greg Olsen, D'Angelo Williams, Steve Smith, and he's not even a Panthers fan. And they're all on byes. So it's going to be interesting. I think Dustin...
Jesus Cristo.
I think Dustin has a chance. He's got T. Rich against Jacksonville. And he's got Phillip Rivers. It's going to be a close game. He needs T. Rich to match Frank Gore.
Right.
That's going to be the big one. Moving right along, we got Jintz and C says hi. No one has played for either team yet.
You're right back there, Joe.
Yeah, I have allergies. So I'm sorry.
All right.
He's allergic to losing. That's
And yet he should be used to it by now. I don't get it.
Boo.
Oh.
I'll probably be dead by morning.
Oh, stop don't it. Say that, Joseph. Don't say that.
God forbid. Terrible. Way to derail the show.
Yeah.
Jints are in a little bit of dire straits with their running back situation this week. Ray Rice could be out. Maurice Jones-Drew is probable. But again, he's playing Indianapolis, and he's on Jacksonville. So there you go. Hakeem Nicks is hopefully going to show something because I have him in another league. I need him to start stepping up. Salud. Ahmad Bradshaw out this week, like I said before. Vic Ballard on IR. And he has Roy Hallouia. It's going to be a little bit of a squeeze. Going over to C says hi, Ryan Tannehill, Jamal Charles. Sean Moreno is a little bit iffy. I'm not a big fan of that. But he doesn't have any other running backs except for DeMarco Murray. Why are you not starting DeMarco Murray, Joey? Really?
Yeah, it's. I would take DeMarco Murray and put him in place of.
He didn't even start Anquan Moreno. Boldin.
Hmm?
He didn't. He sat Anquan Boldin and started Hartline this week.
DeShaun Jackson, Wes Welker, and Brian Hartline.
For shame, I think he's giving up a week.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's odd.
Even though, according to this...
You can still make your changes.
C says hi is supposed to win this game. We have Sanchez's headband. My wife, Karen, against Tanya's I Yell and Hoot At.
Hoot At!
Both teams coming off a loss from last week. According to this, Sanchez's headband is supposed to win and win big. Hoot At has got Andrew Luck, McFadden and Martin, Pierre Garçon, Greg Jennings, Jimmy Graham... She's got a great team.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, just looking at it, I would give the edge to I Yell and Hoot At. I mean, Sanchez's headband, Robert Griffin, Danny Woodhead, Arian Foster, Cecil Shorts, Victor Cruz. Right now, if you have any Giants, you have to be skeptical about starting any of them. Jason Witten, Reggie Bush, who is probable, as well as Arian Foster being probable. Chargers defense against Dallas. You got the Ravens against Buffalo. Karen, if you listen and change that up.
I would change the Ravens against Buffalo. I would move Woodhead out, leave Reggie Bush in as long as Reggie Bush is going to start. And I would actually start either Mohamed Sanu or Greg Little.
Yeah.
I would even start, since she has Arian Foster, I would even start Ben Tate as the handcuff because they already have gone on record as saying that they're going to do the carry 60-40.
Yeah.
So it's up to her. This is a fun league, but at the same time...
It's advice.
It's advice. And in the family league that we're in, which Tattoos and Touchdowns is 3-0 in the family league, I don't give her any help.
Right.
I didn't help her draft. I didn't help in anything. So I'm very proud of my wife for doing as well as she's done in both leagues. She's 2-1 in both leagues.
Yeah.
So good for her. And we have Dawn's Mama of 2 against Team Grimace.
Dawn up to a 16-0 lead so far.
With Colin Kaepernick having a decent day.
About time.
The one question mark for Phil, if Philly is listening, is Vincent Jackson. Eep. I would actually, he has no other wide receivers to plug in except for Cordarrelle Patterson. I would even go so far as to say put Cordarrelle Patterson in wide receiver, take Vincent Jackson out, and start Zach Miller as your flex. Okay. Not a bad idea. Or if there's anybody on the cheap on the waiver wire, just to pick up for 1 week and plug them in. He's got Andy Dalton.
Can't plug anybody in this week. It's done.
You can't pick up somebody?
Not for this week's
off
game.
Off the free agent list?
No, it takes 24 hours to clear at least.
Not on free agents. Free agents is instantaneous. Waiver wire is 24
waiver
hours.
Wire. Oh, okay.
Free agents is instantaneous because I wait until Wednesday. After all the waiver moves are done is when I pick up my free agents.
Right.
And the last game of the week.
And just for the record, Vincent Jackson, he's pushing to play this week. He has a rib injury. But Ian Rappaport of NFL.com says that the Bucs may decide to give him a rest just to get him a little extra time to recover because they have a bye week next week.
Right. And plus you got Glennon as the starter, so who knows how well that's going to go over. Last game of the week is Hot Pickles and Can't Touch This. Hot Pickles rolling the dice with Geno Smith. Oh, he has Aaron Rodgers as a starting quarterback. Okay, yeah. That's why he's got Geno Smith in.
He's also a very big Jets fan. 49ers defense did huge for Tracy, too, by the way. 24 points.
Yeah, but I'm not sold on Marcel Reese being your running back this week.
No.
I would start, Tracy, if you're listening, Monte Ball. Start Monte Ball against Philly more than Marcel Reese against Washington. I think McFadden's going to have the big day for the Oakland Raiders, not Reese. Reese is barely their number two, at least with Monte Ball. Monte Ball is part of a three-headed monster. You may not get that many carries from him, but you'll get some touches out of the backfield throwing the ball. Otherwise, it could be a 4-0 start for Hot Pickles. So, there you have it for that. Let's do a fast start 'em, sit 'em, because it's already 25 to the hour.
All right. Let's go into that. All right. Who's going to be your starting QB for this week? Not as easy as you think.
No. I like Andy Dalton this week. Andy Dalton is my start of the week.
All right.
Playing against Cleveland, it's a decent matchup for him. Even in a losing effort last week, Christian Ponder had a big day. I'll take Andy Dalton.
All right. I am going to sit there and say start of the week for me, RG3. I think this is his breakout week.
It's a safe play.
It's breakout week. I mean, he's going to be coming against a very weak Oakland defense. He should be able to put up some big numbers.
Who's your sit of the week?
My sit of the week right now, Eli Manning. If you have him as a starter, you got to sit him. You can't. You just can't.
I'm going to say, I don't know why you would have him, but Mike Glennon from Tampa. Yeah. I don't like starting a first. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you have him as your backup, just say you had Josh Freeman as your backup to Aaron Rodgers or Cam Newton, and now you're scrambling for a quarterback and you had to pick up him and you're starting him, that's the only way I would see it a viable option as to why you would have to start him.
Right.
Who's your sleeper?
Not really much of a sleeper, but Andrew Luck at Jacksonville.
Okay.
Should be able to get big points.
I got Tannehill against New Orleans.
Really?
Tannehill put up numbers against a decent Falcons team. New Orleans has a weaker defense.
Okay.
I think he has a good week this week. Again, sleeper. Nothing.
All right. Yeah, it's worth a shot. Why not? And, again, if you have Cam Newton or Aaron Rodgers, put them on the bench. They are not playing this week. They're off.
Right.
Let's head over to the running backs. Start of the week. Who you got, Chris?
Start of the week for the running backs has to be Jamaal Charles.
Okay.
I think he gouges that Giants defense today. I said he's going to run for $150.
Yeah.
$150, two touches.
I think Trent Richardson is going to be my start of the week. He should have a big game. He's going to be the premier back this week. And he's going against Jacksonville.
Right.
How could you go wrong?
My sit of the week. Oh, God.
I just want to put this out there. Sit of the week, anybody on the New York Giants.
Yeah, I was, like I was saying before for the fantasy segment, I thought about switching up and sitting DeAndre Hopkins for David Wilson. I'll say my sit of the week is David Wilson. I'm not going to start him.
Yeah, no. I'm going to say sit down Rashard Mendenhall against the Buccaneers. I don't think he's not worth a start right now.
Smart play. Smart
not
play.
Not worth a start.
Well, smart sit. Let me change that.
Right. Well, yeah. Who's your sleeper?
Bilal Powell against Tennessee.
Okay.
I'll roll the dice with another. I'm not saying he's going to rush for 130 yards again, but I'll be happy with 75 and a touch in a deep running back league if he's your flex. Absolutely.
All right.
I'll take that.
All right. I'm going to say Darren McFadden against the Redskins.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he does it. Redskins defense isn't that great.
No. I'm thinking along the lines that I would never consider Darren McFadden a sleeper, but you're 100% correct, yes.
You know, I mean, McFadden hasn't been putting up great numbers. He's been putting up decent numbers, but I think this is going to be his breakout week. I think he's going to score big points. Big points for Darren McFadden. All right, let's head over to the wide receivers. Start of the week for me, Reggie Wayne against Jacksonville. Easy points.
Mine is AJ Green against Cleveland.
All right.
I've been a big proponent of AJ Green against Joe Hayden. I don't know. AJ Green just finds ways to be open, and he's a man among boys right now, especially in that division. I'll take AJ Green all day, or day.
Right. Your sit of the week for the wide receiver position.
Believe it or not, Eric Decker.
All right.
I think not so much for the defense that he's playing against, for the fact that
he's probable for this week. He's injured.
Besides that, the fact of Peyton has three other guys to throw to, and he's been focusing them in more than Decker. And everybody thought Welker would be the one to take the fantasy hit, and Decker would thrive from it. Actuality, Decker has suffered completely, especially with Julius Thomas coming out of nowhere.
Right.
I would play safe and sit Decker this week.
All right. I'm going to sit Larry Fitzgerald against the Bucs.
He's
going to be on Revis Island.
Oh, God.
He's going to be on Revis Island, and even though the Bucs are abysmal, Revis, he still hangs in there.
Right.
You know, so have a seat, Larry. Thank you for trying. Who's your sleeper?
Darius Heyward Bey.
All right.
They play in Jacksonville. Reggie Wayne's going to have a beast day. I think DHB picks up all the scraps and gets you about 65 yards.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go out on a limb. Hasn't done much this season. Julian Edelman against Atlanta. I think he's not going to – he's probably not going to put up the yardage, but I think he's good for at least 5 grabs and a touchdown.
Okay. Fair enough.
I think he's going to be like a – he's really going to fall more in line as a possession receiver, you know, get that first down and find the end zone just once. Let's see. We're going over to the tight end position. Tight end. Let's see. Who's your start of the week for them?
Jimmy Graham. It's going to be Jimmy Graham until a bye week.
Yeah. And even then, it's Jimmy Graham.
Seriously. Jimmy Graham is my start. Is my start of the week. That's it.
All right. Let's see. How about Jason Witten against the Chargers?
It's fair. Manti Te'o's in this week. Don't be surprised if Te'o is the one who shadows. He's good at shadowing people.
Right.
He's got nothing next to him.
Girlfriend. He did it a shadow.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Te'o should be the one to shadow Witten on any passing play.
Yeah, but again, it's his first NFL game. Jason Witten is a salty, salty veteran.
I love Jason Witten, dude. Oh, my God.
I hate Jason Witten, but I like him at the same time. I hate Jason Witten because I'm a Giants fan, and he kills us every week, or every time we play, but I got to respect the man for everything he's done.
You hate him for the jersey he wears, not the person he is.
If he was a Giant, I would adore him.
Oh, my God.
I might even build a shrine to him.
Oh, dude, but imagine the Manning to Witten combination that would be.
Oh, my
delicious.
God, are you kidding me? But, yeah, I think Jason Witten's going to make a fool of Manti Te'o.
My sit of the week is Brent Celek against Denver.
Okay.
Celek has been progressively getting better. I just think he takes a step back this week. I don't like him in many plays. And honestly, if you're in a 12-team league, unless you have Jermichael Finley or Greg Olsen, Celek shouldn't be a starter for you.
Right. I'm going to sit down Owen Daniels. Owen Daniels against Seattle. Yeah. Seattle's another defense, you know, you don't mess with. Their defense is stout, and nobody does really anything against them.
No.
So, who's your sleeper?
Not really so much. You know what? I'll change my mind on this, because I was going to say Jordan Cameron, but he's really not a sleeper anymore. Everybody knows who he is.
Right.
Tyler Eifert. I'm going to go Tyler Eifert against Cleveland. I think Andy Dalton, as you could see my trend right now, Andy Dalton, start of the week. A.J. Green, start of the week. Sleeper Tyler Eifert. I think Cincinnati has a big passing week against Cleveland. I like Tyler Eifert for about 50 to 75 in a touch.
All right. Not impossible. Not impossible at all. It's sad to say this, that he really kind of is a sleeper now, because go back a couple years and he was a flat-out stud. Antonio Gates against Dallas.
Yeah.
He's nearing the end of his career, and I think he could have a decent week against that Dallas defense.
Yeah,
Dallas defense isn't really as good as everybody thought they would be.
I agree 110% with you.
All right, Chris. Kickers are like fat chicks. They need love, too.
Like mopeds. Everybody's embarrassed to ride one in person. I'm going to take Matt Prater, only for the simple reason that I think anybody in that Denver-Philly game is a smart play, with the exception of Decker. I think Prater has about 10 points alone.
I hope so, because he's going to score against you.
I know. Listen, I don't play a hate. I congratulate. I don't care.
I'm going to say Ryan Succop against the Giants. I mean, it's extra points, field goals, but the way the Giants have been playing, they're gonna have a day.
Yeah. My sit of the week is, because we don't do sleepers, remember?
No.
My sit of the week is Nick Folk against Tennessee. He's been bad the whole season. I don't see the trends changing. So if you have him, drop him.
Yeah. Randy Bullock against the Seahawks. I don't think they're gonna get close enough to kick field goals.
Yeah. I just think the Seahawks are going to manhandle them.
I certainly hope so.
Defense, start of the week. I'm going to have to go with Kansas City, I think.
I can't blame you for that.
Listen, if I'm wrong, I've said this. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. Prove me wrong. And let me see a Giants offense step up. But I haven't seen that yet. Eli's looked terrible. Offenses look terrible. I think Tom Bahali and Eric Berry have a day, and I'm expecting two interceptions and at least one forced fumble.
Wow. All right.
But the Giants just got to cover. I got to go double or nothing.
I'm going to sit there. I mean, start of the week for me. Go. So I'm tossed up between the Broncos and the Seahawks. How do you not start these guys every week?
I wouldn't start the Broncos this week at all. Against Philly. No. Philly's been dropping points. I would start Seattle in a heartbeat. I would not start Denver. Denver's one of those, like, you know, go.
All right, hold on
away.
A second. Let me go back to my team.
I agree with you with Seattle, though.
Yeah.
100%.
All right.
My sit of the week is Philly.
Really?
I will sit Philadelphia's defense against Denver?
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Peyton's laughing right now. They gave up 33 points to San Diego. They gave up 30 points to Washington. They gave up a shade under 30 points to Kansas City. Now they're going to play the best quarterback in the league with two of the best threats in the league.
And overall, four amazing receiving threats.
Yes.
So.
Oh, it's bad news, Baz.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I can agree with that. Again, sit any New York Giants player unit you have. They're awful. I'm going to sit Houston against Seattle. I think
fair.
I think Russell Wilson's just going to be able to pick him apart. I mean, the guy right now, Russell Wilson, fantasy stud. He makes it happen. Makes it happen. So
my sleeper is Tennessee against the Jets.
Okay.
I like the way Tennessee's defense has been playing. You hold a team like Houston in the second week of the season to 27 points, even though they lost in overtime. They held a very good, surprisingly good, San Diego offense to only 17 points. And they humiliated Pittsburgh week one.
Right.
I'll take my chances with Tennessee if I have to make that choice.
All right. Yeah, no, I mean, not a bad sleeper pick at all. Not a bad sleeper pick at all. All right. For me, let's see. Let's take a look down here. How about the Bucs versus the Cardinals?
Yeah, I think the Buccaneers' time to shine. I think Revis has a good week.
Yeah, I think Revis gets at least one pick, possibly returns it.
Everybody's been waiting for the pick six.
Yeah.
Everybody's been waiting.
He's due. He's really had kind of a – he's been quiet for this season so far. Really hasn't done a whole lot. But, yeah, I think he's going to – I think this week he gets his pick six. I think he's going to take – since he's going to be on Larry Fitzgerald the whole game, he kind of – they're going to go – Carlos Palmer's going to go his way, bottom line.
So that's our fantasy segment for the week. If anybody – has anything they want to talk to us about fantasy-wise or just football-wise in general, you could always hit us up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/tattoosandtouchdowns. You could tweet either one of us. It's at TNT Espo and at Tat, T-A-T-T-T-D, Will. You could email us, tattoosandtouchdowns@gmail.com. You can go to our website, tattoosandtouchdowns.webs.com. Really quick before we finish, I just want to... pulling up an article on NFL.com, actually written by Mark Sessler from Around the League, an article about Todd Haley's offense for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Apparently, it's frustrating the Pittsburgh Steelers. This isn't anything new for Pittsburgh. I remember last year, Roethlisberger and Haley butting heads a few times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think that the offensive coordinator, is it more important for a quarterback to be friends with his head coach or be friends with his offensive coordinator? Friends meaning close.
You know what? It depends.
Okay.
It depends. If your head coach is offensive oriented, it's more beneficial to be friends with your head coach. Right. It's not beneficial for Geno Smith to be friends with Rex Ryan. He's a defensive minded coach. Not going to do anything for him. I can't put the onus strictly on the offensive coordinator. It is execution, okay? There is something to be said about the quarterback and the receivers, quarterback and running back, offensive line. You know, if your unit is not executing, it doesn't matter what play you call.
Right.
You could be running a very vanilla offense, and you're not going to be successful because you just the execution isn't there. Does the onus somewhat fall on the offensive coordinator? Absolutely. I got to split this down between the unit and the OC 50-50.
Okay.
All right. If he's not coming up with something to confuse defenses, shame on you. But at the same time, Ben Roethlisberger's been in the league long enough to know, long enough to read a defense, sit there and go, oh, hey, wait. This looks like it's going to be a blitz. Looks like it's going to be coming from my right side. Let me check down. You know, let me call the audible, get my hot route guy, and find him. You know, he's been around long enough to be able to pull that off easily.
I hate offensive coordinators that have been head coaches before. And Haley was the head coach of Kansas City, and he couldn't do anything. And
how'd that work out for him?
Exactly. Look at a perfect example, Tony Sparano, before we close out the show. Tony Sparano, head coach at Miami, offensive coordinator for the Jets, offensive line coach now. Team that he's on now escapes me. He's the offensive line coach.
Right.
How the mighty have fallen.
Steve Spagnuolo is another.
Perfect example.
But he was defense.
But again, perfect example. There's certain guys that are great and then regress. Josh McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive coordinator, head coach. Cam Hackett as a head coach. Back down to offensive coordinator. If you're a veteran like Roethlisberger, it's very tough when a new offensive coordinator comes in that has had no success as a head coach and you want me to run your offense.
Right.
What do you want, crack?
Okay.
I've won Super Bowls before.
Right.
I know how my team is, and you're not giving me enough tools around me. You let Mike Wallace go away.
Sure.
You gave me no running game. Roethlisberger went on record this week saying, I don't know if Le'Veon Bell's ready.
Yeah.
There's too much.
And he caught some heat for that too, by the way.
Rightfully so, though. Don't call out your own teammates, rookie or not, during the season. You're 0-3. It's time for damage control.
Let me ask you this, okay? I don't disagree with Ben Roethlisberger calling him out.
Right.
I don't. Everybody's sitting there going, oh, no, you got to pull him to the side first and talk to him and this and that. Who says Roethlisberger hasn't done that yet? Bottom line is, if he's pulling him to the side in the locker room, you're not going to have any clue. You don't have any idea what he did. Maybe speaking to him on the side did nothing, and now calling him out, maybe this is the right way to do it. Maybe this is the way to say, hey, Rook, wake up. Time to man up and do this.
Yeah, but you know what? I would rather it be behind closed doors. I agree with you. Maybe he did do it. I just, airing your dirty laundry at 0-3 with a historic, just a good, rich tradition franchise like Pittsburgh with the Rooneys and everybody.
Let me ask you this. When was the last time you heard Roethlisberger do this?
Never. And fair assessment. I just, Roethlisberger has done a very good job of cleaning up his act after everything with the drinking and the
attempted alleged rapes.
Right, and the crashing his motorcycle. And
right.
I think it was done in poor taste. But again, it could light a fire, and Pittsburgh can come out this week and dominate.
Maybe, and I think that's what Big Ben's going to do. Real quick before we end up, 7 teams, 3-0, Bears, Saints, Seahawks, Broncos, Chiefs, Dolphins, and Patriots. Which team is going to miss the playoffs?
Dolphins.
Okay.
3-0, finished the season 8-8. Even though I had them at 10-6 before the season started. 8-8, I'll say the Dolphins.
Fair enough. All right, folks, we're going to wrap this bad boy up. Just a couple of quick plugs. Check out Ham Radio right here on More Like Radio every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 1. Chris and or I will try to call in, usually in the 11 o'clock hour, to do the participate in the NFL Picks and Punishment. Right after us, you have The Sully Show, which, again, is a repeat this week.
Mm-hmm.
Check out our boy Phil, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, also doing the Poke Check podcast. Chris sits in on that whenever he can.
Yeah, I was on there last Tuesday night calling in from D.C. This will be my last week in D.C. for travel, and then I'll be able to go into the studio with him full-time on Tuesday nights.
So check those out. Check us out, facebook.com/tattoosandtouchdowns. Usually putting up news. We try to put it up as soon as it happens. We try to keep the page active all day, throwing up some questions there. Feel free. If you guys are monitoring Facebook, you see something happen on NFL, throw it up on the page, let people know. Mm-hmm. I can't monitor all the time. Chris can't monitor all the time. We have jobs.
No, thank God for Will, because if he didn't, I would. Listen, my Twitter account's been suffering. I've tweeted once in the last 2 weeks because of working so
right.
much. Really quick, shout out to Dustin and T-Rex from MHX Radio, great friends of the show. Dustin is in the fantasy league, and I think that does it this week.
I think so. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good. Another fantastic show. And if it wasn't for everybody in the chat room talking to us, and all of our fans, we wouldn't be doing this. So on behalf of Will and Joe and myself, thank you. This has been Tattoos and Touchdowns, exclusively on MoreLikeRadio.com. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's More Like. Have a good week. We'll be back next week.
Good night, everybody.